Hi guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast, the show dedicated to transforming your life. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Helen, and we're excited to bring you the best information on exercise, nutrition, mindset, and health. Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm flying solo, and we are going to be talking about weight loss plateaus. And hopefully the information in this podcast will be helpful for anybody who has reached a point where they're not losing weight anymore, or maybe you're not seeing the weight changes that you want to see in your challenge so far or your body transformation journey, or you might be in a position where you're looking at the scales and wondering why the scales aren't moving for you. So let's jump into it and let's start with a little bit of priming information. So whenever we go through a weight loss journey, we need to be in an energy deficit, right? So whenever you want to lose body weight, you need to be in an energy deficit where you are consuming fewer or less energy than you're expending. So what this means in words that you might know is that we want to be consuming less calories or energy from food than we're expending through physical activity and body functions. So you might be in a position where your dieting strategy or training strategy has put you back into a nice balance or homeostasis, and we need to be in this energy deficit. So you might need to start making changes to your strategy to make sure that you go back into this energy deficit position. So how do we determine if we need to make changes to our strategy, and then what changes can we make to those strategies? So the first thing I'd like you to ask yourself is, are you being adherent to the strategy that you're trying? So we know that weight loss takes time and it can be tedious. And if you think about the position that you're in right now, it didn't happen overnight. You might have put on a bit of weight over the course of months or years. So you can't expect to lose weight very quickly. And you can't expect the strategy that you're applying to your body to have a rapid effect. So what I mean by that is I want you to think of your body as a classic experiment, a classic scientific experiment, and the effects of the strategy that you're implementing right now might take a bit of time to see those effects. So how do you know if those effects are going to be effective on your body? So we need to make sure that we're being adherent to that strategy. Now, often I ask this question to friends, family, people, challengers like yourself, and I ask, you know, are you being adherent? And the knee-jerk response is, yeah, I'm 100% in my nutrition. Oh, I haven't missed a training session. And sure, you might not have, but the question you need to ask yourself is, are you being adherent? And then can you reliably give me information saying that you are being adherent? So one example is, what did you eat last Saturday for lunch? What did you eat on Monday for dinner? How many grams was it? What foods were in it? Some of these questions you might be able to answer really well, and some you might not be able to answer really well. So that's the first step, is to determine, okay, do you have any data to confirm that you're being adherent? Because we know that all these bites, licks and tastes, or BLT, really add up over time, and we need to be certain that we are consuming the food that we're claiming to consume and expending the energy that we're claiming to expend. Because we know, and there's data to support it, that says that we humans often underreport how much energy we're eating or food we're consuming and overreport how much physical activity we're doing. And maybe you've done something similar where you go, oh, I've only eaten 1200 calories a day. But then you sit there and look at it and go, well, actually, if you counted all the food that you ate and that little lick of peanut butter that you had and that extra little bite of dinner, and then you finish your kid's meal, and then you might have had that little taste at work of morning tea, and you realize you've actually consumed 2,000 calories when you've been claiming to eat only 1,200 calories. And that's when it gets into this position of, okay, well, before we even make changes to your strategy at all, we need to make sure that we are being adherent to the strategy that we're applying. So that's the first thing I want you to ask yourself, are you being adherent? And if you are unsure of that, I want you to start taking measures to determine if you're being adherent. So start a food diary if you need to. Use an app like MyFitnessPal. Track your workouts so that you know that you're improving over time or actually completing the workouts and the total amount of sets that you prescribed, right? Next, we start to look at the rate of weight loss. So when we go through a dieting phase, we want to be, of course, losing weight, and we want to find a way to measure that weight loss. And I'm all for measuring yourself daily with a set of scales. And there's quite a bit of data that supports the daily monitoring of scale weight. And this is for two reasons. One, a psychological reason. If you go through a behavior of weighing yourself every day, that's going to imprint a memory in your head so that you are constantly reinforcing this strategy and this change that you're trying to implement. And you're going to have a constant reminder of the scales every single day that you are doing something to manipulate that variable of your body weight. Next, we need to actually look at what that number represents. And I think for many times, we put a certain value on a number and we might not completely understand the value of that number. So when we look at the number on the scales, so let's use me as an example, I'm about 100 kilos. And when I look at the scales, I see, 100, and I go, okay, what does that mean to me? And this might be really obvious, but you are measuring everything in your body. So we can start with bones. We're measuring bones and bone mineral density, and that can change over time through strength training. We know that bone minerals get denser and stronger over time. We're looking at connective tissues in our joints, and we know that through strength training, the connective tissue gets stronger and heavier. We're looking at our organs in our body, such as our brain, our liver, which changes over time and can fluctuate through the different foods that we eat or different stresses in our life. We're looking at gut residue, so the things that are physically in our stomach, in our intestines, and digesting over time. And that can change depending on the type of fiber that you have, the type of foods that you eat, and then the mixture of those foods and how long your digestive system takes to digest those things. Then we can look at muscle itself, which many of us will slowly increase muscle over time. Now, gaining muscle is incredibly hard. And over the course of a year, if you're a super beginner, you might be able to gain 5 kilos of muscle. But if you've been training for 3, 4, 5 years, you may only be able to gain, 0.5 kilo of muscle in a year. And that's even less for females. So, okay, muscle is a variable that we need to measure. But what's more likely to affect your scale weight with your muscle is things like glycogen or how much sugar is in that muscle belly. And that changes depending on the foods that you eat or how often you train. Then we've got other things such as our blood volume and our hydration levels and the fluids that we have. We know that fluid can change very quickly from the amount of food and sodium that you eat, hormonal fluctuations, or heck, even just you going to the toilet can change your body weight. So we need to understand that there's so much noise around this scale weight, and we can't put too much emphasis on the number, but it's definitely a reliable way to check and measure our progress over time. So we also use other ways to measure our progress. So we could use DEXA scans and bod pods and measurements to measure your waist and your hips and such. And all these different strategies come with their own levels of error. So what I mean by error is user error or machine error or interreliability error. So the most effective way to actually track your progress is to weigh yourself frequently. Now, how do we minimize all these daily fluctuations? Well, we start to look at a macro view, as in like take a step back and look at all the numbers. So instead of looking at one specific day, we start to look at maybe an average over a week or an average over a month. And we go, okay, if week one, you weighed 100 kilos, and then in week two, on average, you weighed 99.5 kilos, we go, hey, you've lost 500 grams. But if we look at those individual days, we can see it spikes up and down. You might go to 100 kilos and 200 grams, and then you might go down to 99.8, and then 100.3, and then 99.7 because of these normal fluctuations. But on average, you might lose that weight over time. So the main point I'm trying to say is that is your lack of weight loss, is it one, are you looking at a very small time scale? And then two, is there another variable that could be masking your weight loss progress? And that could be almost anything. That could be even when you weigh yourself. So you could weigh yourself in the morning on one day and you weigh yourself in the evening on the next day and you go, well, Steve, I'm not losing weight. And you go, okay, well, they're two different times. One time you went to the toilet, the other time you didn't. One time you were wearing clothes, the other time you just had some dinner. One time you just worked out, the other time you just woken up. So these variables can manipulate that. So we need to start looking at if there is another variable that could be determining your weight loss. Next, we can look at the rate of weight loss itself. So when we look at good textbooks and good data, we see that the rough range of weight loss that we want is between 0.5 to 1% of body weight per week. So 0.5 to 1% of body weight per week. So that's a nice little range. So you might look at yourself and you're maybe like me, 100 kilos, and you lose a kilo in a week. Great, that's 1%. That's good maths. But then the next person, you might be, I don't know, 50 kilos, half that. And you might lose 500 grams in a week. That's 1%. You might feel disheartened because I was able to lose 1 kilo and you're only able to lose 500 grams. But you need to remember that you're half my size. So we need to start looking at the rate of weight loss, and it's a really nice way to look at it in terms of percentages. Because if you weigh 60 kilos and you've lost 200 grams in the week, that's very close to, you know, about 0.5% of your body weight. And that should be a big success and a big win for you. And okay, maybe you might be looking and comparing yourself to somebody else. And I think that's a problem in itself, you comparing yourself to somebody else. So I want you to look at the percentage of your weight loss and then determine, okay, is it within this range of 0.5 to 1%? If that percentage is much higher and it's higher consistently, then we can start pointing our fingers at other reasons. And we go, okay, are you losing excessive muscle mass? Are you losing other types of body mass here? Then we start to see that the imbalance is a little bit too high. And normally we can point the fingers to fluid. So if you just start a diet and you lose 2 kilos in a week, that's more likely due to fluids and you taking a really big time in the toilet than you are actually losing body fat. And I'm sure many of you listening have gone through low carb diets where what happens is when we restrict our carbohydrates, we restrict the actual sugar compounds in our muscle, right? And we call that glycogen. And glycogen is closely linked, well, to store 1 gram of glycogen, you also need 1 mil of water. So if you cut out carbohydrates completely, you're literally going to pee out all the glycogen, so all the sugar in your muscle, and then all the fluid associated with that, which then leads your body into a position where you don't have that energy to use. So you don't have that sugar in your muscle to use. So that could be a limiting factor to your ability to train. And then what happens is as soon as you have, I don't know, an apple or a bit of fruit or a carbohydrate, the glycogen will store back in your muscle belly, and then you'll gain a kilo overnight and you'll freak out. You're like, oh, I gained a kilo of fat in a night. Well, no, you probably didn't. You just gained some water in your muscle belly, and now your muscle belly looks fuller and thicker, which is, I think, for lots of us, what's what we want. We want our muscles to look big. So don't fear the carbohydrate. But I think it's important to measure our weight loss and go, okay, is it within a good range? Now, if your weight loss is less than 0.5%, we can go to the next step where we can start to say, okay, you've been adherent to your diet and we want adherence to be, you know, above maybe 80% or 90% because we allowed a little bit of human fun in there. So are you being adherent to your diet? Yes. Is your weight loss masked by another variable? No. Okay, let's look at the rate of weight loss. Is it between that 0.5 to 1%? No, it's not. It's less than that. Okay, great. Let's move on to the next step. And we go, okay, is a change in our strategy possible? So change in our strategy to get back into that energy deficit would require us to either reduce our energy intake or increase our energy expenditure. Now, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter which strategy you choose. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But we need to determine if a change is actually possible. So you might be there and you're suffering from real extreme hunger right now. So you're consuming, let's put a number, 1500 calories of energy, and you're having real extreme hunger. You're struggling to not binge eat or overindulge in foods. So then you go, okay, is a change possible here? Could I reduce my energy intake anymore? Well, no, because there's a psychological impact there. Or on the other side, you might be looking at your training, your exercise, and you go, okay, is there a way for me to increase my activity levels? Well, okay, I'm walking about 20,000 steps a day. I'm training 7 days a week. All right, maybe I can't increase how much exercise I'm doing. Okay, so then we have to take a step back if a change is not possible, where you might actually need a break from dieting. I know that sounds counterintuitive. But what a break from dieting will do is to help with recovery. So it'll help with training recovery and also metabolic recovery. So what I'm going to suggest for you is if you're in a position where a change is not possible right now, that's okay. I want you to take 2 days off from dieting. We'll call it a diet break. And what I want you to do is actually consume slightly more calories. So maybe about 10, 20% more calories. So if you're having about 1500 calories, I want you to have maybe 1650. So that might be just a slightly bigger portion size. And what that will do is give you a little bit of a mental break, will give your body a little bit of a physical break. So then when you come back to your training, you can go, okay, I've had this little bit of time off. I was able to recover a little bit. My body was given a little bit of a break. My brain and my psychology, my mindset was given a little bit of a break from dieting. So now I'm in a position where I can reduce my calories a little bit, or I can increase my physical activity slightly. So if you're now in a position where you go, okay, well, I am ready to make a change, we then need to look at other psychological impacts or factors. So we can look at fatigue, we can look at stress, we can look at mood swings, because we know these things happen with us. And if you're in a position where there is a psychological barrier or factor limiting your ability to adhere to the diet or the training program, I don't want you to make a change. So if you are suffering from extreme stress, fatigue, mood swings, low energy, any of these symptoms, I don't want you to make a change. And we would need to look at other areas that you can improve on to improve these psychological factors. And that might be to look at your recovery, to look at your sleep, to look at other factors of deep health. And that is limited to this podcast because we could talk for hours about deep health. But I don't want you to change your energy balance if there is a psychological factor in the way. If you ticked all the boxes so far, now we can make those changes. So we go, okay, what am I going to do? Am I going to reduce my energy intake or increase my energy expenditure? And like I said earlier, that really comes down to you and your own preferences. So when we make this decision, we go, okay, what would you prefer? Would you prefer to have slightly less in your meals? Or would you prefer to do some more physical activity? And that really comes down to a preference. So if you choose to reduce your energy intake, an easy way to do this is to simply reduce your portion sizes by about 10%. And then we retest. And we give it about a week, 2 weeks, see how it goes, and then we can reduce it again. That could be simply reducing the number of grams in your meals. Or maybe you want to omit a snack. Or you might want to change one of your meals so that it is of a lower calorie intake. And one example would be, instead of having a meal of, let's say, chicken and rice or chicken and broccoli like a Mr. Bodybuilder guy, you can change that to simply having like a protein shake, because we know that a protein shake has a lot less and next to no other macros, so no fats or carbs, just protein. So you can be sure that you're getting adequate amounts of protein so that you can not be having extra amounts of calories with your meals, right? So that's one strategy you can try. The other side would be to increase your physical activity. Now, when we talk about increasing our physical activity, we want to be really looking at our overall daily physical activity, and we often refer to it as NEAT, or non-exercise activity thermogenesis. Sure, we can prescribe you more cardio, so you going on a treadmill and walking, or on the Stairmaster or the bike or something like that, but that's very formal, and we often have to then look at the intensity of that and then manage that in with your training stimulus and go, okay, are you doing 3 hours of cardio a day to try to increase your energy expenditure? And then is that 3 hours of cardio then affecting your ability to strength train? And we know that if we are not doing strength training or are limited in our strength training while in an energy deficit, our body will choose to lose muscle or choose to get rid of muscle and metabolize some of the protein in the muscle, which then decreases our overall energy requirements for the day, because muscle is very expensive tissue to maintain. So if you have less muscle, you're going to require less energy just to sit here and listen to this podcast or walk and listen to this podcast, whatever you're doing. So then we go into this negative cycle of we lose muscle. So then we try to decrease our energy intake further. And then we try to do more cardio, which means we lose more muscle. And then we go through this big negative cycle and we end up in a position where you might be eating 800 calories a day, doing 6 hours of cardio and going, Steve, I'm not losing weight. It's because we've lost so much muscle through that period. So I don't want you to be looking for formal ways to complete cardio because of that interference effect with your ability to strength train. I want you to look at ways to increase your non-exercise, so non-formal exercise, activity thermogenesis. And a good way to monitor that is through your step count. And this is why we like to prioritize our step count. And that might mean that you go for a light walk in the evening. That might mean that you try to find ways to be more physically active throughout the day. Maybe if you work in an office and you know that you sit down all day, maybe that means that you try to stand up and walk around more often. And we like to use the number of the step count because it's a nice round number to measure. And we go, okay, on day one, you walked 6,000 steps. Day two, you walked 7,000 steps. Day three, you walked 8,000 steps. Great. We can take that same approach with our weight measurements. And we go, okay, instead of looking at the individual days, we might want to average it out over a week, because you might be in an office environment where you can't walk. But on the weekends, you might find that you're able to do more steps. So you might do 5,000 steps Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then on the weekend, you do 20,000 steps on Saturday, 20,000 steps on Sunday. So if you do your quick maths there, 20,000, 20,000, and then the 25,000, because Monday to Friday, 5,000 steps each, which is 65,000 steps in the week. All right, you're getting close to maybe 9,000 steps on average per day. All right, great. So that's awesome. That's a good place to start. And then your goal next week might be like, all right, I've done an average of 9,000 steps a day for this week. Next week, I'm going to try to get an average of 10,000 steps a day. And that might mean that you try to do a lunchtime walk when you're in the office, 9 to 5, or maybe in the evening after dinner, you go for a walk just to try to get your steps up. Now, when I say go for a walk, I don't want you to start thinking that I'm talking about formal cardio. I don't want you to go power walking like in the Olympics, or I don't think that's actually out of the Olympics now, but I don't want you to be huffing and puffing, going for a sweat. It's literally, I want you to be more physically active. And that could be you standing up right now, or you going and doing the dishes, or doing the gardening outside, or playing with your dog or your kids or your family or your friends, or doing something leisurely where you're being more physically active, because these lifestyle factors are more important for a long-term successful body transformation than if I tell you to do 30 minutes of cardio every single day to get your energy up. Because as soon as you get rid of that cardio in your life, that weight is going to creep back, which we don't really want. We want these good quality behaviors over time to increase our physical activity so that we get into this good equilibrium of energy in, energy out. Because at the end of the day, guys, dieting kind of sucks because there are some people out there that enjoy it, but a lot of people don't like starving themselves, don't like eating less food. So if we are in a position where we're not challenging our willpower, we're not challenging our lifestyle, where we go, okay, I'm eating at a okay energy intake. So, you know, if you're a female, you're eating, you know, 1800 calories, that's a good energy intake for the day. You know, you could have brunch with your girlfriends, you could have dinner with the family, you could have and enjoy a lifestyle where you're not limiting yourself from food, then you're less likely to binge. You're less likely to have that alcohol on the weekend or the salt and vinegar chips or reaching for the tub of ice cream because you feel satisfied from the energy intake that you have. And then if you're finding ways to be more physically active throughout the day, then weight loss becomes easy. You're not even thinking about it anymore. So look, let's summarize it here, guys. The first step in our weight loss journey or weight loss plateau is to determine if we are actually in an energy deficit. We can start asking ourselves questions to find out if we're in that energy deficit by, one, are we being adherent to the strategy that we're implementing? Next, we can start to look at the variable of our weight loss and go, okay, is it being masked by another variable? Are we able to isolate that variable and modify that variable? Then we can start tracking the weight loss itself. Is it within 0.5 to 1%? If it is, don't make a change. If it isn't, then we can start modifying our strategy. Next, we can start to determine, is a change possible? Could you reduce your energy intake or increase your energy expenditure? If you can't, you might need a diet break or an exercise break, a bit of time off, so maybe 1 or 2 days. Next, we start to determine psychological factors such as stress, fatigue, motivation, mood, these types of things. And then we start to make that decision, do we want to reduce our energy intake or increase our energy expenditure? And that really comes down to your own preference. Is it easier to reduce the food you eat, or is it easier to try to find ways to increase your energy expenditure? And sometimes it's really obvious where you go, okay, well, actually, I'm super full all the time. I'm just going to reduce my energy intake. Or you might be saying, oh, well, I'm actually not doing much physical activity. I'm going to try to do more physical activity and leave my energy the same. So guys, hope you found this video helpful. If you enjoyed it, please give it a thumbs up and share it with a friend. And if you have any questions, please reach out to us on socials, or if you're doing the challenge, reach out to us on the forum. Enjoy. Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.